Likutei Sicha is Chelek Yud, Sicha of Parshas Vayechi, the second Sicha. On the Pasuk, where Yaakov Avinu, before he passes away, he calls together all his sons. The Pasuk says like this, Yaakov called to his sons, and he said, gather together, and I will tell you what's going to happen to you at the end of days. That's the end of Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Bey starts, Hikavtsu Vishimu, gather together and listen, children of Yaakov, and listen to Yisrael, your father. And then Yaakov begins to bless each tribe, each of his children, according to their individuality. So our Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Pesachim says, and Rashi brings it as well on this Pasuk, which we're going to discuss with certain differences. And we will discuss the nuances of the way Rashi brings this teaching of our sages in Si'if 8, in chapter 8 of the Sicha. The meantime, the Rebbe is going to discuss the actual teaching that our sages taught us on this topic, which is, as the Gemara in Pesachim says, Yaakov Avinu Yaakov, our forefather, wanted to reveal to his sons the Ketz Hayomin, literally the end of days, and the Shechina departed from him. So I'd like to just point out here that this word Ketz Hayomin, comes from the book of Daniel. Okay, this is this in the Sicha. This comes up in various places. I think to be maybe helpful just to deal with this topic at the very beginning. In the right at the end of the book of Daniel, where it speaks about referencing the coming of Mashiach, it says, "You now go to Atolech Laketz. You now go to the end, v'tanuach and rest. V'tamid legarochel, you'll stand up for your eventual fate. Laketz hayomin, the end of days." And here, the Ketz hayomin, you notice I'm saying with a nun. The commentaries point out that this is really meant to be like, read like a mem, the end of days. You see, yomim with a mem at the end means days, end of days. Yomin means right. So here, in the simple reading of the Pasuk in Daniel, we're supposed to understand it the end of days, the coming of Mashiach. It's a reference to wait till the end of days, the coming of Mashiach. Rashi in the Gemara in Pesachim, which speaks about Ketz HaYomin, and it says it with the language of right, he says, what does it mean, the end of days? Why is it called the Ketz, the end of Yomin, of end? There's something that is said about Golos that is Heshiv Achor Yemino. Hashem moves his right hand behind him, so to speak, because the right signifies chesed, benevolence, kindness. And when we are in Golos, when we're in exile, Hashem removes that element or lessens that element of dealing with us with Yamin, with right. Leketz Hayamin, the end of days, means where Hashem will take away that Heshiv Achor Yemino. He will restore his dealings with us in a way of chesed, in a way of right. Now here, in Rashi, in Daniel, it says basically that the Nun is really just like a mem here. It's supposed to be like the end of days. And there is a parenthesis, there's a brackets at the end of Rashi, and he says, in the end of Rashi, there's a brackets that says, look in what the Gemara says, and the way Rashi explains it in the Gemara in Pesachim, where he explains what I just told you now about the right hand, and yet here Rashi seems to say it's like the end of days, like not paying attention to the long nun. And it's a bit of a question. Later in one of the footnotes, Rebbe says, well, quite clearly, Rashi, if you want to speak as Rashi giving you the simple understanding of the pasuk, there's no difference. So it's just the end of days. The Yomim and Yomin is not of consequence. However, the Gemara, Rashi's Pirush on Gemara is in the way of Gemara. The Gemara does bring the word Ketz HaYomin. So therefore, Rashi explains why that same time, it's not a different time, that same time, end of days, why there's also reference to it as being the end of Yomin, being related to the end of the concealment of Hashem's right hand, so to speak, and the going back to the right. So this comes up in continuation of the Sikha. I just put it in here because we're mentioning Ketz HaYomin. I don't want you to listen too carefully. I'm saying Ketz HaYomin or Ketz HaYomim. We're talking about the end of days, essentially. So Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell his sons about the end of days. The Shechina departed. So we have to understand, how does the Gemara know that Yaakov wanted to reveal to his sons the end of days? If you just read the simple reading of the Pasuk, so basically there's a whole row of blessings that Yaakov Avinu tells his children. So maybe this is just an introduction. Get together, guys. I want to tell you all these things. And he tells them. So some of Farshim say, well, it's because he uses the word ba'achris hayom. He says, I want to tell you what's going to happen at the end of days. We know from various places in Tanakh that the words ba'achris hayomim means the end of days. Ketz hayomim, that same concept, the end of days, the coming of Mashiach. So he says, gather together, I want to tell you what's going to happen in the end of days. So that seems to be very clearly the indication why our sages learned he wanted to tell about the end of days. That's what he says. However, it's difficult to say that that's really the proof, because A, asked the Rebbe, this is not enough of a proof, because not everywhere does the end of days, Achris Hayomim, always mean the coming of Mashiach, which is Ketz Hayomim. Why? Like when Bilam, in the prophecy of Bilam, he says, I will tell what will happen to your people in the end of days, and there it's referring to David HaMelech. So it's a later stage. Achris can mean the end, it can also mean later, acha, after. So it was in later days, but not the end of days. Not Mashiach, it was talking about David HaMelech. So how do you know here it's not talking about that? Number two, even if we'll say that over here, the end of days is a reference to the Ketz HaYomin, the end of days, how do we know that Yaakov wanted to reveal it to his sons? In other words, how do we know he wanted to tell them when it would be? We know that there's a rule. We have reason to think that that wouldn't be something he would want to specify. We have a rule that's brought down. It's brought in the Gemara. It's brought down in Medrash. It's Yalkut Shimoni. The language of Yalkut Shimoni that the Rebbe quotes here is Liba lepuma loigalia, which means that. This is based on a pasuk. It says, if somebody says, I'm reading out from the Medrash in Kehelis, also quoted in the Rebbe's footnotes. It was taught in the name of Rabbi Shimon, if a person will tell you, I know when the end of time is coming, when the Geula is coming, the redemption is coming, tell him, there's a verse in Yeshaya that says that there's a day of retribution. Ki yoim nakam b'libi, there's a day of retribution in my heart. And what does that mean? It's in my heart. And the Gemara explains, the Medrash explains, the language in the Yalkut Shimoni is, Hashem says, it's in my heart. Yom Nakam Belibi, that day of retribution, the day of redemption, is in retribution for the negative people and redemption for Klal Yisrael. It's Belibi, it's in my heart. Says the Gemara, it's not even revealed to my mouth. In other words, I don't say it. It's not explicit. It's not revealed. So this is something that, based on Gemara and Medrash, this is something that traditionally is not revealed. Hashem doesn't tell us when Mashiach is coming. So if so, why don't we just say that he wanted to tell them what's going to happen, right? And he did tell them some stuff that's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Why should we say that he wanted to tell them something which is secret and we know shouldn't be told? So why would we assume that that's what he means when he says, gather together, I'll tell you what happened at the end of days? Why don't we just assume that he wants to tell them something more generic about the end of days, about Mashiach's coming, not the secret being when it's happening? Third question, since Rashi also brings this pirush, it must mean that this is a pirush, this is a commentary, this is a meaning in the reading of the verse that is coming out from the pshutei shel mikra, comes out from the simple reading of the pasuk. How do we see this simply in the 5-year-old reading the pasuk? That's chapter 1 of the Sichas. Just to recap, this Pirush, where do we see the need to learn this way in the pasuk that he wanted to reveal to them the secret of the end of days, referring to Mashiach, and the time Mashiach is coming? How do we see that? Chapter 2, the explanation is like this. The pasuk reads that he told them, gather together, I will tell you what happened at the end of days. End of pasuk 1. And then pasuk 2 says, oh guys, gather together and listen to what I have to tell to you. Hello, you just said gather and I'll tell you what happens at the end of days. Why are you telling again, gather and I'll tell you, gather and listen to Yisrael your father? You just said that. So obviously there was something he wanted to say and he didn't say it. So he says, okay, never mind. Gather together, guys, I have something else to tell you. because all the list of things he told them after the second introduction, so that second introduction gathered together, listen, sons of Yaakov, that's an introduction to that list of things that he tells them. But that can't be those, that list of brachas he gives them and information he prophesizes to them, that can't be going on the earlier statement he made. Get together, I'll tell you what happened at the end of the days. Because you don't need two introductions to the same drasha. So therefore we know there was something he wanted to say about the end of days. And he didn't say it. And that's why it doesn't say anything. It says only the Torah. Yaakov says, gather together, I'll tell you what happened at the end of the days. And it doesn't say what? And then he says, gather together and I'll listen to Yisrael, your father. But that's already the next topic. Okay. However, we need to understand... Okay, we understand that the double expression in the pasuk is telling us something. That something wanted to be said wasn't said. Something got a little off the initial plan. But how do we know what it is? How do we know that he wanted to tell them this secret of all secrets, the time when Mashiach is going to come? And for some reason he wasn't able to tell it to them. Si'if Gimel, Si'if 3, the explanation is, says in Zohar, and explained in Chassidus, that there are three expressions when we talk about speech, about saying something. There's Dibur, you all know that from Vayidaber Hashem, right? Dibur is in the mouth. Amira, there's the word Amira, Vayomer. Amira denotes a deeper level of speech, it's even in the heart, it's coming from the heart. And then the word Hagida. Hagida, says the Zohar, is Milin de Chuchmeso, which literally means words of wisdom. They're coming from a deeper place. What's the difference between different forms of speech? So we know that the Dibur, speaking, and Amira, speaking, those two words can also come from a place that's only external to the most internal levels of the human. For example, Dibur happens via the mouth. That's why we have an expression that we don't look positively at somebody that speaks one way in his mouth and one way in his heart. In other words, insincere speech can be done by lips, but it's not really coming from the heart. Okay, so Dibur can be lip speech, but obviously we know that doesn't necessarily come from anywhere deep. Even more, Amira, which we say does come from the heart, we know that in the heart there are also two levels. There's what he thinks he wants consciously, and then there's what he wants in the subconscious, in the deeper levels of consciousness. We see this in halacha, from the way that Rambam says that when somebody is needing to give a certain korban, a certain sacrifice, or this could also be in a case of more connected to us, although don't try and do this literally these days, but in the days where Beis Din was able to have full power. So, you know, there's a law that that in order to effect a divorce, so a man has to want to divorce his wife and the woman has to want to accept the divorce. But Minat Torah, biblically, the man has to want to divorce. He cannot be coerced to divorce his wife. What happens if, God forbid, there's a situation where the Beis Din says it's not fair for this woman still to be married to this man, he must give a get. I said, I don't want to. Now, we know that the Torah says you cannot give a get if you don't want. He doesn't want to give the divorce. So we force him till he says, I want. Now, hello, does he really want? He says, I don't want. We know that when he said, I don't want, he really meant deep down, I don't want. What we're saying is, hello, we know, the Torah knows that if Beis Din said that according to the rules of the benevolent Torah, he needs to give a divorce, then deep down his neshama wants to do what Hashem wants. Yeah? Even though what he said earlier was coming from his heart, but when you force him, you're now taking away the Yetzirah that's causing him to say, I don't want to give. And when you dig a little deeper, you get to the Pnimius Alev, to the depth of the heart, a Jew always wants to do what Hashem wants. Parenthetically, I'm taking the liberty of saying this here just because could be it's simple. I hope it's correct. Somebody asked me when I was learning with him, this sikha, he says, okay, does psychology also have this concept? So I just want to use a very simple example. We know that if, God forbid, somebody says he wants to take his life, and could be they do want, we assume and we know that psychologically this is an aberration. This is not what he truly, truly wants. There's a deeper place where everybody wants to live. And could be some, God forbid, something has gone wrong somewhere in the system, or something has happened where the person on his conscious level does not want to continue to live. But we know that subconscious, deeper consciousness, does want to live. Halacha is telling us, if Beis Din says he has to give a get, then deep down that's what he wants. On a more external level, not just on a verbal level, in his heart, he doesn't want to give it. But that's the external level of heart. So that's all dibur and amira. The word Haggadah is much deeper. Haggadah is from the depth of the heart. And that's why it says in the Zohar, Haggadah is words of Chachmah, they're coming from a deeper place, because the words of Chachmah here, what is meant in the Zohar is that they are from the pnimius, from the innermost and hiddenmost aspect of Torah. And what happens there is those words, we know that there's parallel. The parallel, Hashem, we are connected, there's three connections. Hashem, Yisrael and Torah, the Jew and Torah. Hashem is connected to every Jew through Torah, right? So through there's in every one of these three levels has Galia and Sosin, revealed and hidden. So through the revealed aspect of Torah, we connect, that connects Hashem in his revealed state to the revealed levels of Jew. Through the hidden aspects of Torah, Pnimius of Torah, the innermost aspect of Torah, the secrets of Torah, the Zohar, Chassidus, through that, that's the secret of Torah, so that connects to the secret of the Jew, in other words, the depth of the Jew, and it connects to the depth, so to speak, the susim, the hiddenmost aspects of God. So there's a very deep connection that's being activated by the word Haggidah. Haggidah denotes the deepest form of speech, in other words here, the deepest form of Torah, which connects to the deepest form of the Neshama, and connects that to the deepest levels of Hashem. So when we talk about the Haggadah that Hashem is speaking, for example, so it says, if you want to know Hashem, you want to know the one who said and the world became Hashem, you got to learn Haggadah. And the Rebbe quotes in the footnotes that the commentaries say, the Medrash says, and the Chinuch says on the word Ledavkaba, you want to cleave to Hashem, you have to do what Hashem does, and Ledavkaba, learn Haggadah. If you learn the secrets of the Torah, the Haggadah is the agadic, the stories, the medrash of the Torah, which are sometimes very esoteric. They look simple sometimes, very esoteric. Unlike halacha, they're a lot more agadic, expounding and homiletic. Learn that, you get a taste. You get a taste of the deeper aspect of God, because the deeper aspects of Torah are coming out and being expressed in Haggadah. Why? Because Haggadah, the word Haggadah, is coming from pnimius. In one of the footnotes, Rebbe sends to Maimonim, in Chassidus, he explains the word Haggidah has the Gimel Yud Dalet. The Gimel and Dalet is Gimel is about Gmoil. The word in Gimel is to bestow, benevolence, Gmoil. Dalet is Dalim, is the poor person receives. The Yud is Yesod. I'm not sure what that is. I'm sorry, I forget. But the point is, I believe, that Haggidah is the ultimate in giving and receiving, the ultimate of Chachmah coming. The transmission of Chachma coming, I guess in this case, Higid was saying it's coming from the depth. Milin the Chukmas of the Zohar says it's coming from the deepest place and it's connecting to the deepest place in the Jew. So now we'll understand when it says, Yaakov says, come and I want to Haggidah. I want to tell you something. It's not just telling something. It's Haggidah. I'm going to give you something that's from the depth of the depth. I want to tell you something, to reveal to you something that's deep of deep, that's pnimi, that's really internal of internal. And that's the end of days. Because what's the point of the end of days? What is the concept of Mashiach? Mashiach is about the revelation of the deepest, innermost, hiddenmost aspects of the Neshama and becoming connected to the deepest, hiddenmost aspects of Hashem through the hiddenmost aspects of the Torah. So now we understand. I can't say I fully understand, but the concept that this pasuk is telling us, oh, Osvo va'agido, I'm going to tell you something that's from the deepest of the deep. Now, what's the deepest of the deep? The deepest of the deep is the end of all times, which is the revelation of Hashem in an unhindered way. That's what we're working towards all the time, right? So that's what I'm going to tell you. Okay. Seif Dalet, chapter 4, goes like this. However, we have to understand, what does it mean that the Shekhinah, he wanted to say this to his sons, but the Shekhinah departed from him. If you want to say that he wasn't able to reveal, the point is to say, why didn't Yaakov Avinu reveal the end of days? So why doesn't it just say that the Kates, the end was hidden from him? He forgot it. Or something like that. What does it mean that the Shekhinah departed from him? Because, hello, if you continue to see what he was saying, after this, he said a lot of prophetic things. That means the Shekhinah must have been with him. So what do you mean that the Shekhinah went away from him? So he says, so the point is like this. Yaakov wanted to reveal to his children what he knew about the end of days. Because in his opinion, the way Yaakov looked at his sons, they were ready and fitting after getting them together. He said, if I get them all together to stand around me, they will be ready that I will be able to tell them the end of time. The biggest secret of the biggest secret. Now, you think that Yaakov maybe misread the situation? Well, let me remind you that Yaakov was the one who thought that Esav was ready for redemption when he sent him the gifts a couple of weeks ago. It's because he thought, guys, Esav, come on, let's go to the Geula. In his eyes, Esav was ready to do the final move with him and make Mashiach come. So certainly, how much more so, he thought this about his kids. He said, they're ready. I just got to get them together, get them in the zone, so to speak. I'm going to tell them when Mashiach's coming. So he says, get together. That will be the preparation, the togetherness. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen at the end of this. And then the Shekhinah went away from him. In other words, only that aspect, what he wanted to express to his children at the end of days, that aspect went away from him. He still was full of Shekhinah because he continues to prophesize. In other words, what does Shekhinah mean? Shekhinah means to rest. Lahashkin means, we refer to Hashem as the Shekhinah, it's because Hashem, it's the level of Hashem which, so to speak, rests and enclothes in lower level. So he wanted to bring down and enclose and have this level rest on his children. And that was taken from him. He couldn't, they weren't ready. In other words, Yaakov had the Shekhinah. On him, the level of knowing when Mashiach would come and being fully aware and prepared and so on for Mashiach, that was there. But he wanted to do the Shekhinah, wanted it to rest further, that revelation should also rest on his children. And he couldn't do that. So he didn't forget when Mashiach was coming. That wasn't taken away from him. Right? But in this language of the Gemara, that Nistalkosh, it doesn't say, there's another medrash that says that the Kate, he wanted to say the end of times and it was hidden from him. There you could say, maybe he forgot the Kates. But no, here the language of the Gemara is, he wanted to say the Kates, and the Shekhinah, the ability to rest it lower to his children, departed from him. Only that aspect, but not the way the end of days was understood by him. That was still there. And this is why the Gemara says that the Shekhinah went away from him, not that he forgot the time. He just didn't have that ability to draw it down further. Chapter 5, nonetheless, our sages did tell us that the Shekhinah went away from him, even though seemingly it has no, he didn't change, it was only he wasn't able to draw it down further, but still it did have an effect on him. In other words, this in itself, that his children weren't worthy to have that revelation of the end of time, this also caused a pulling down, a descent in the level of Yaakov. Similar to what we find by Moshe Rabbeinu when he was, after 40 days on the mountain of Sinai getting the Torah, Hashem tells him, Lech Reid, go down. Go down from your greatness. Your children have sinned. They made the golden calf. Didn't I only give you greatness because of your children? Because of the Jewish people? And if they're not okay, then that's going to cause a demotion, a decrease in your level as well. chapter 6. However, according to that, one second, we don't understand. If Yaakov's condition is hinged on the spiritual state of his children, so why do we find that the Shekhinah only departs from him when he wants to come and reveal this to his children? Hey, their situation was like that before. When it comes to the Bnei Yisrael and Moshe, you could say, just now they made the egel. So now Hashem says, hey, you got to go down. You're going down in level. But here, nothing changed in the children of Yaakov. So they weren't at the level of having that Shekhinah before Yaakov wanted to reveal it. So why are we only saying when he wants to reveal it, that's when he gets a certain downer from his own level? He should never have had that level of Shekhinah even on him if his kids are not at the same level. And we said that this has an effect that later when he wants to tell it to them and they're not at that level, it kind of demotes him, or I shouldn't say that word. It kind of creates an ill effect on him. What changed? Just because he wanted to tell them? They were that way before too. However, this we can understand, says the Rebbe, according to going back to the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu went down the mountain, he was still holding the two luchos. Now, we know that the luchos were very, very heavy, technically, but because they had the word of Hashem, that there were two blocks of stone, they had the word of Hashem, so Moshe didn't even feel like he was carrying it. It kind of carried itself. And then the spirit of Hashem went away, right? Now the Moshe looks, he sees, it says he was carrying them, and now he sees the eagle, he sees the calf, and now they become heavy for Moshe Rabbeinu. And he yatkovdu al yadav, they became heavy on his hand, and he can't carry them anymore. In other words, something happened when he actually saw them, that all of a sudden he couldn't carry it, and he got upset, he got angry, and he threw the luchos off his hands and he broke them. Says the Rebbe, what happened just because he saw them? He already had been told about it. They made the egel before Moshe Rabbeinu went down from the mountain. Not just that, Hashem told him, these guys made an egel, right? So if Hashem's telling you that, you don't have any doubt, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have any doubt about it. So why all of a sudden did they only become heavy and Moshe Rabbeinu get angry when he saw? What happened? What was so different about seeing? The answer is, the explanation is like this. The whole time Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain, he was totally removed from all what was going down below. He didn't have any connection with what was going on in the world. And therefore, it didn't have its effect. The fact that the Bnei Yisrael were busy with this sin didn't have any effect on him and his level. Even after he already heard about it from Hashem, and he was already on his way down. However, once he already totally descended from the mountain, and he saw what was going on, that's when it affected him to the point that it was too heavy for him, and he got angry and he threw it down. Similarly, in our case as well, even though also before that Yaakov had children that weren't at the level that he anticipated they would be at, nonetheless, he was able to personally have the Shekhinah about the revelation of where Mashiach's coming. Because he was not at that time vested, actively involved and connected to them to try and bring this down to them, right? So therefore, their spiritual standing didn't have any effect on him at that time. But he wanted to reveal it to his children. Now he wants to go and tell them. So now he renews his connection with them in a more direct way. And now, when they're not at the level that he anticipated they would be at, that now causes a descent for him. Chapter 7, nonetheless, still we have to understand. Why does the Torah tell us this? This is written in the Torah, so we understand that what Yaakov wanted to reveal, the Kates, it must have had its effect also below. And there must be a teaching for us, an everlasting, eternal teaching for us. Because this is the Torah that's given to all the Jews for eternity. And the Torah tells us that Yaakov wanted to reveal this. And besides, says the Rebbe, we obviously understand that what a tzaddik wants to do never is unheeded or never gets unfulfilled. So how was what he wanted to do fulfilled, to reveal the Ketz? So here too we have an example from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu in general, Moshe and Yaakov are considered the same level. There's a concept that's spoken about in Kabbalah, and that is that Yaakov, he's being quoted here from Tikkuni Zohar. Yaakov is from the outside, Moshe is from the inside. They're the same level. One is the more external level, one the more internal level, whatever that means. About Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that through his tefillah, he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said, no, I can't take you, right? He davened, he says, I want to go see the land. What did he want to achieve? He wanted to give the Jewish people the gift of having a relationship with Hashem as if they see him, with the certainty and the clarity as if they see Hashem. And Hashem denied that to him. So he wasn't able to draw down that level for the Jewish people to go into Israel with that clarity of connection with Hashem as if the clarity of vision. But he was able to bring down this level in what we call a derech makif, makif is a surrounding way, not in an internalized way, but in a more surrounding way. I'm not getting the good word for makif, but I hope you're able to deal with that. However, the only thing he could draw down to them that they should be connected to in a more internalized way was hearing. It says, now Yisrael, listen to the mitzvahs. In other words, that the level that's accessible to them is the level that's called shmiya. You know, when we hear something, we know it. Somebody can describe something to us and we listen and we kind of have a vision of what it, but it's a more approximate vision of the way it is. So the level of connecting to Hashem in a way of Shmiah means that our relationship and understanding of Hashem is not of such clarity as vision, but it's with the depth of understanding, so to speak, that we can have, like in when we understand something from hearing it. So that's what he was able to give to the Jewish people. And the re'iyah, the concept of the clarity of vision, was only in a makif way, in a general way. They can have some kind of connection to it, but not in a real way that they can own it. So similarly, says the Rebbe, the way that when Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to his children, almost before he was passing away, he wanted to reveal to them when Mashiach is coming. So even though the Shechina departed from him and he wasn't able to be mashkin, he wasn't able to draw this down to them, nonetheless, with this that he said, gather together and I will tell you, he was able to draw it in some way. In what way? That through the service, through the Jewish people, through a Yid serving Hashem to his utmost, he's able to get to some kind of a revelation of the end of days. At least in a general way, what does it mean, the end of days? End of days means at least the freedom from the nations of the world. In other words, the outside disturbances and the Yetzer Hara, the inside disturbance. When a Jew really serves Hashem in the greatest way that he can, so he's able to have some kind of a reference, some kind of a touching of this revelation of what Mashiach is going to be like. The freedom from enemies from the outside and the freedom from his own enemy within being overcome. Chapter 8, so Rashi says, now back to Rashi. The Rebbe said that till now I was explaining Chazal, the statement that our sages said. Now, when we look at Rashi, there's an interesting thing. Rashi brings this statement of Chazal from the Gemara, which, right, but he changes it slightly. First of all, he doesn't say Yaakov wanted to reveal to his sons. He takes out the word sons. Number two, he doesn't say he wanted to reveal the Ketz Hayomin, the end of days. He just says the Ketz, the end. He wanted to reveal the end. And number three, he adds, but Hashem took it away. Nistalka Shechina, that aspect of Shechina departed from him. And he began to say other things and the rest of the prophecy that Yaakov said. So those three changes we want to understand. And in the third change, what is difficult to understand is, well, what does Rashi add by saying, and Yaakov, after he tells us that he wanted to say the Ketz and the Shechina went away from him, then it says, and he started to say other things in the next pasuk. why does Rashi have to say that? Why would Rashi add those words? I mean, what's added by that? So we have to say that in Pshutei Shel Mikra, in the simple reading of the Pasuk, Rashi has to make these changes and say it in the way he does. Why? Bekitza says that just to say it shortly. First of all, Rashi puts his commentary on the words gathered together, not gathered together, but v'va'agida lachem, I will tell you. So he doesn't have to say he wanted to tell his sons. The whole Rashi is on the words, tell you. You is the sons that are gathered there. Two, the whole difference between Keitz Hayomim and Keitz Hayomin has no relevance here. And it could be that according to the Medrash and Rashi, they're actually the same thing. As I told you earlier, the Rebbe says, even though there's two different interpretations, but they're speaking about the same time. And maybe only in the Gemara, Rashi wants to explain that there's a concept of right that refers to Gula. But in the general statement, it's just, it really means the end of days, and that's it. There's no reason to. So Rashi can shorten that Chazal, because he doesn't want to get us into this whole topic, and just says, Yaakov wanted to reveal the end. And we know what it's referred to. It's the Keitz. Whenever just standard we say Keitz in Torah, it's the Keitz, the end of days. Third thing, why does he... how do we know that this is... He wanted to say something which he didn't say? So what we just said from the Zohar, the word Higid, that means something very deep. That's not pshat for the five-year-old. So how do we know that this big chiddush, that he wanted to say something? Maybe he wanted to say something else. So Rashi says, because when he says, gather together and I will tell you what will happen at the end of days, there's no follow-on. And so Rashi adds these words. And he started to say other things. In other words, the psukim afterward, he starts saying his prophecies to each son. That's a new beginning and different things. So you can't say that that's what's meant in the pasuk that he tells them, gather together and I'll tell you what happened at the end of days. He doesn't say anything. And then he starts, not carrying on that, he starts other things. So Rashi has to point that out, because that's the whole basis of how we know that this was something he wanted to say and didn't say, and this was about the end of days. And so this is also a lesson to chapter 9. This is also a lesson for our Avedon. There are those that think, they make the accounting of the world, so to speak. They try to put themselves in Hashem's shoes and to figure things out. You say the world has gotten so low down. How could it be that in our, what's called a Dor Yosim, in our orphaned generation, we can have the revelations of the Geula, of the redemption that's supposed to come in the future? These are revelations that the previous generations, which are much better than us, didn't merit to have. Our generation is the one? Question mark. So from this comes the teaching that because Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the end of time to his children, to all times, even to the times where the Shechina will not be there in a revealed way, even to the time when there's such a departure of the Shechina that it's so dark, the darkest of all dark, doubled over darkness. So we also, Yaakov brought down this power that we too, even in this generation, can reveal the greatest revelation. Legalis esakets, we can reveal the coming of Mashiach. We can effect and bring about the coming of Mashiach. And really, the fact here that Rebbe takes this taina, that people say, oh, our generation is far removed from being able to bring the Mashiach. Says that's the best sign that this is the time and this is the generation that can bring Mashiach. Why? Because it says Mashiach has to come behesech hadas. Literally, behesech hadas means with when the mind is not on it, when you're distracted from it. Mashiach will come when you least expect it, when you're not thinking about it, when it's not on your mind. In other words, so it's not just, it means, literally, if you read the Gemara, you think it means that you're doing something else, you don't realize, all of a sudden Mashiach comes. The Rebbe says, even more, it's Mashiach will come at a time when if you use your das, if you use your mind, and you make a calculation, there's no way he can come. How can the Mashiach come? That's really Hesach Hadas. He'll come in a time where you can't imagine that he would come. So that's a good time for him to come, because it says he's going to come in a way that we don't expect him. So now, if the generation is very low, so then he's really unexpected. So what we have to, though, make sure is we understand, says the Rebbe, this doesn't mean we're not supposed to think about Mashiach, because it says you have an obligation. The Rambam says we have an obligation to achakele, we have to wait for him every day that he's coming. The point of this Hesach Hadas is that even though it's higher than our mind is able to comprehend, even though in our mind we can't see how it will come to be from such a lowly generation that such powerful revelation will come, nonetheless, we believe in the power of our belief higher, which is higher than rationale, that Mashiach will come. That's the Aveda. In other words, this is Aveda of Hesech Hadas. We have the Aveda of aiming for higher than our own understanding. According to our understanding, how can Mashiach come? So we believe and we try and bring him in a way that we believe anyway, Hashem is going to bring the Mashiach. And through this emunah, we believe nonetheless Mashiach's coming. Mashiach will come quickly, speedily in our days. And the Rebbe says here in this last footnote that don't think that there's any contradiction between what it says in the Igeres HaKodesh of the Alter Rebbe, Simen Daled, where he says that there's seems to be that this level that we have a belief in Hashem that's higher than any rationale, this is a gift that comes from above. So, two things. First, the Rebbe says that basically we have to arouse this. We have to work on this belief and the strength. Now, the thing is, how can you work on a belief to believe in something that's beyond rationale? We're limited by rationale. So we have to try and awaken that, and then Hashem, in a way of gift, gives us that strength, that certainty that Mashiach's coming as a gift, even though it's higher than anything we can comprehend. And as the Rebbe says in the Igeres HaKodesh, it says itself, anything that comes as an arousal from above, as a gift from above, requires the preparation of us trying to get to that level from below. That's Isarusa de Lesata, which brings down Isarusa de Le'ela. So this is the Sicha thing. And I just go back to 31, footnote 31 star. Very interesting what the Rebbe says about the fact that Yaakov Avinu drew down for us the ability to have at least a peripheral, a general touch of revealing the Kates, revealing the coming of Mashiach, so that when we learn Torah to a certain degree, or when we work hard at it, we can achieve a certain freedom, right? Which is Geula-like, which is Kates-like, which is the end of times-like. The Rebbe quotes here in 31 star, very interesting. For me, it was interesting. I've never even seen, I've never known about this Sefer. There's a Sefer called Chachmei Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. And there's a letter there from the daughter of the Alter Rebbe, Rebbetzin Freida. She writes to her brother, the Mittler Rebbe, that an interpretation of what does it mean that Yaakov wanted to reveal the Kates, the end, is the Kates Kol Basar, referring to the portion of Noach, the end of all flesh. In other words, the problem with seamless connection to Hashem is that at some place our body is a separateness, is not transparently connected to Hashem. And there's a high level of Mashiach, which is Kates Kol Basar, where the flesh will end. The flesh will just be a revelation, will just be totally privy to the fact that it's created by Hashem, and it will express that creation by Hashem. And Yaakov Avinu wanted Legalis HaSakeitz, he wanted to bring down to his children that end of all physical separateness. And it seems that the Alter Rebbe's daughter was saying that if you work hard enough with Iskafia, with training your body and channeling your body to do the right thing, that that person can achieve this inyan that Yaakov wanted to achieve to his, or drew down to his sons, the Kates Kalbasa, that they can overcome the limitations that the separateness of our physical flesh creates in terms of our relationship with Hashem. So the Rebbe says that in a different way, to explain how this pasuk is still relevant, how Yaakov Avinu gave us something which we can still aim towards, which still gives us power, and that's why it's in the Torah for eternity, I think this is what the Rebbe says, just references, that there's another look at it, as the letter of the daughter of the Alter Rebbe, Rebbe Zinfreider. All the best. Be well.